Hello, this is Father John Gillespie, your pastor, Father Kevin Gillespie, older brother. And he asked me to help out this Christmas with a homily on Christmas Day. So, Christmas presents us with at least three questions. One, you will spontaneously answer out loud. The other two, well, they have to be thought about. The first question is when someone asks, how was your Christmas? You will almost surely be asked this question. Family and friends, pastor and parishioners, neighbors and co-workers, all can pose the question. Of course, you will probably give the expected answer. You might speak about a surprise gift from Santa under the tree, or sharing some eggnog and drinks with relatives, or having a wonderful dinner with the children and grandchildren. Then again, if we exposed ourselves to the blizzard of Christmas television specials and the avalanche of holiday advertisements, we might give the expected perfect answers. After all, during the holidays, we are tempted and teased to have a perfect Christmas. Ironically, our gospel today tells us about a perfect biblical couple, Mary and Joseph, who at least on paper did not even have a good Christmas. Still, we can become captivated by the enchanting story of the birth of Jesus, which is probably the best known and loved story in the entire Bible. But then, we forget that our experience of the story might not have matched theirs. They were outsiders, the marginalized, on the road, spending their Christmas in a rundown stable for animals. The Gospel of Luke says, Mary wrapped the infant in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph and Mary's experience can be good company for the many men and women who feel alone today, as others have no room for them in their hearts. Which brings us to the second question. What are we celebrating today? The words and the answer to this question are easy to say, but they contain a staggering mystery. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of God, the coinciding of humanity and divinity. Or, as one of the church's earliest saints put it, God became human so that humans might become God. Yet, that is not the answer the world gives, is it? In fact, look around. Doesn't it appear that the world has hijacked the answer? It says that we are celebrating family, and that is what Christmas is really all about. Or being good to one another, and that is what Christmas is all about. Although comforting and even inspiring are these and some of the world's other answers, they can also be as stale as opening last year's Christmas gifts. For what we really are celebrating at Christmas is an astonishing claim. We celebrate the divinization of our humanity. That word divinization means the capacity of our human nature to take God's life into itself, to be capable of being filled with God, so that God becoming human in the humanity of Christ becomes a bridge between us and God, a bridge in which traffic passes in both directions. Yes, on Christmas Day, we celebrate God became human so that we might become divine and see and learn from him, this God-man, the infinite love of which the human heart is capable. Of course, we are dealing here with a reality that is beyond our immediate experience, especially when we think of the word divinity. In fact, we can misinterpret divinity as that which is not human and transcends the human and is even antagonistic to it. Here, the insightful words of Trappist monk Father Michael Casey brings us closer to a correct and up-close interpretation of divinity when he writes, "It is hard for us to admit that our flawed humanity is the nearest thing to God on earth, and that what gives humanity its special character is its possibility and desire to become ever more like God." Okay, at Christmas we struggle to find the correct language for the incarnation. We are dealing here with a reality that is beyond our immediate experience. However, the biblical birth story of Jesus in today's gospel can give us something of that experience, which brings us to our third question about Christmas. Why do we first meet God as a baby? Ronald Rollheiser starts us off in answering by asking a question. If you put a baby in a room with a linebacker from the football team and a charismatic rock singer, who has the most power? The shocking answer is the baby. Of course, the other two in the room can physically overcome the baby. Yet, the small infant has the power to change behavior. The others in that room might clean up their language. Hey, don't talk that way. There's a baby here. The transparent innocence of the baby has a power the others do not possess. And coming as a small, innocent, helpless infant assures us that God is not into power plays. Think about it. Don't we grown-ups lower our defenses around a baby? Don't we risk being a little bit more ourselves? For we are not afraid. The infant can't hurt us. We might not only clean up our language, we can talk differently holding an infant. Psychologists call this mother ease language, where the adult speaks in a repetitive rhythm and exaggerated tone of voice. In any other context, in any other relationship, the adult will be mocked and laughed out of the room, but not here, not when holding the infant in their arms. Maybe that is one good reason God comes to us in the gospel, first as a child. And here could be another reason. What we all secretly hope for, though never openly admit it, is that someone, somewhere, some human being could find us indispensable. That if somehow we were not present in their lives, there would be an emptiness in their soul. And this individual would not be put off by our looks or how much money we make or where we live. This is one reason why we love children. And you know, what we openly expect when we hold a child in our arms is also what we secretly hope for from God in our hearts. Someone who finds us indispensable and trusts us. And we have the experience of the Christmas Christ child and every child we will hold in our arms to tell us that what we hope most for from God is really there. So the more you think about it, isn't it good that God comes today in the gospel, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? God bless you. Yeah?